we gather together to worship you, to sing from our hearts, because, Lord, it's, again, something that we've experienced of your faithfulness and your love. As you've touched our lives, Lord, we gather to know more of you. We've gathered here to ask that you would be our teacher. So, Holy Spirit, fill this place, fill our hearts, prepare us for what you have for us today, and may, God, we walk away with this passage, Lord, just learning more of you and applying it to our very life. So, God, we love you. We thank you for meeting with us this morning. Bless this service, and we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
So good to see everybody. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, what's happening? All right. Definitely a blessing to see everybody here this morning. And if by any chance the seat next to you is now unoccupied, now that you have your Bible in your hand, if you could still scoot over in case any latecomers come, they'd be able to find a seat. That'd be great. This morning, we're going to continue in our study in the Gospel of Mark. So please raise your hand if you need a Bible. We have lovely assistants here who will definitely make sure you get one. And if you do not have one personally, please consider that a gift from us to you. And while you are turning to Mark chapter 9, I got a couple of things I want to share with you. Number one is for you couples out there, if you've been procrastinating, please don't forget our couples fellowship will be on January 19th. And so you can sign up online. Please remember that we will have a meal together first. It's a potluck. So bring your favorite dish and you can share it with others. And then we'll get into our study. And we're going to meet for the next 6 months, once a month, on the third Friday of every month. And so please sign up. We'd love to have you be a part of that so we can all grow in our marriages. And then the other thing is we've had several people ask, hey, are you guys ever going to print up more shirts? And then all of a sudden we had some hats made and people started giving me the stink eye because why can't I have one of those hats and so forth. And so I'm proud to announce that we restocked. And so you can pick up a shirt in our bookstore, not for free, okay? But we got our Calvary name and then, of course, our mission on the back as far as what we have. And so we want to sell this. And the cost for this is $15. And then the cool new hats that we have made, they're breathable, so you can, you know, your head don't get all sweaty. It's got our church logo on it, and these are going for $18. The cost of these are basically to cover the cost of it, but then if you purchase it, literally we're able to purchase a Bible. And everything that we do in the bookstore from the proceeds there goes toward buying Bibles for all of our outreaches, for our prison ministry, for when people come and they don't have a Bible, we want to bless them with the Bible. During Christmas outreach and Easter and so forth. And so I can't remember the number that Michelle shared with me last year, but we set a record for how many cases we gave out last year for passing out the Word of God. And so I'm excited about that. Amen. And so if you purchase that, know that's where it's going from. So my question to you is, I want to know who drove the furthest to get to church this morning. Uh-oh, I got a hand in the back. Where are you from? Bro, can you do a favor? Can you set that back up there for her? Man, I don't even need to ask anymore. Huh? Blythe, California? Blythe. Praise the Lord. Well, you didn't raise your hand. Sorry, you lost out. No, that's fine. You can have it. You can have it. If the shirt is not your size, go to the bookstore and they'll get you the right size and so forth. But wear it with pride and don't do anything bad. Today, before we jump into our Bible study, listen, I am super excited because we have a new year before us, 2024. And, you know, as we get ready to look at the scriptures and what all God wants to do with us throughout this year, if you are not here on January 31st, I shared a message for us called Love Well, and it's Love Well 3.0. Every year, this is a theme that is throughout the Bible. You know, God doesn't just call us to love. He calls us to do it well. He calls us to love unconditionally, sacrificially, the way he does. And it takes years and years. We will never be able to perfect it. And this is why I believe this theme is important for us as a church. And so I'd encourage you to go back onto our website, take a look at it, because I gave some challenges. But the bottom line and the core of the message was we need to grow from faith to love. God has called us to grow in our relationship with him. So I gave some pointers on that and how we can encourage each other all throughout the year. But I also don't want to miss out on an opportunity for you, because with all of my heart, I believe that throughout 2023, that phrase became a reality for us as a church. It's not because of a phrase, but because we lived it. And the way that I want to show this to you is we made a PowerPoint reflecting all of the ministry that we were able to do throughout 2023. And so I want you to be able to rejoice today that God has used this fellowship in mighty ways to love well. And so can we go ahead and play the video?
Oh,
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Super excited about what God has for us. Let's all stand. We're going to begin Mark chapter 9 in verse 30. It says here, then they departed from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know it, for he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to him, or said to them, whoever receives one of these little ones in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Father, we thank you again for this time. Please bless not only this portion of Scripture, but Lord, bring it to life for us that we may understand. Lord, as your disciples today, the lesson that you want us all to learn. So God, go before us, pour out your Spirit once again, and bless this service with your presence, with your truth, and empowering us to live it out. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, one of the things that is a blessing as we continue in our study is we're looking at Jesus literally almost like last portion of ministry as he transitions from being that ultimate servant to the ultimate sacrifice. He is going to spend more and more time preparing his disciples for what's ahead. And it's not just for the crucifixion. It is the ministry that they will carry on once he ascends into heaven. And it's so important because just as Jesus is going to be spending time alone with his disciples, I pray that we would see as, you know, modern day disciples, the same lessons apply to us. What is God asking of us today as a church? Is it that we just come here, do a check-in? You know, it's not that we check the box, okay, went to 9:45, it was pretty booming, worship was okay, you know, pastor was lame with his jokes, whatever, right? It's not about a checklist. When we come, the purpose is to come so that we can learn how not to sin. The purpose of us being here is so that we could be more Christ-like. And so I want us to make sure that we're taking note of this because, again, the same lessons apply to us today. And so Jesus came off of the mountain with James or Peter, James, and John. There was a heated argument that they came across in the valley. And, of course, the religious leaders were arguing with his disciples. And their whole purpose was because they were not able to cast out an unclean spirit from a boy that was presented to them. Jesus obviously healed the little boy, and he explained to his disciples why they could not do it. And he said, this kind can only come out through prayer and fasting. And our encouragement last week was all about when we're in the valleys, you know, that's when reality comes to life. That's where the struggles become real. As we walk with the Lord, listen, we are going to have some mountaintop experiences. We're going to have some amazing blessings that we'll receive from the Lord of knowing him more. But then we got to come off of the mountain and we got to get back into the real world. And it's there that whatever comes our way, we can stand, we can serve the Lord, and we can do it in a way that brings him glory. And with every trouble, I want to encourage everybody, you should be praying and fasting for God's will to be done. But here, as we pick up in verse 30, it says, then they departed from there and passed through Galilee. So Jesus, along with his disciples, now all of them, leave this Gentile area where they were near Caesarea Philippi, and they passed through Galilee. Now, Jesus was not, you know, wanting people to, you know, he didn't want to be noticed. And I want us to understand it's not because Jesus was trying to lay low because of fear. You know, he was not afraid of the opposition that came from the religious leaders, nor was he tired of serving people. The reason why he didn't want to be noticed is found in the very next verse, verse 31. And Mark explains, Jesus wanted to spend time alone with his disciples, again, to prepare them for what was ahead. This is actually the second time that Jesus revealed to his disciples that he would be betrayed, that he would die, and that he would rise again from the dead. And what's amazing about this is that it's been roughly about 2 weeks since the first time he said these things. And just like 2 weeks ago when he first dropped this bomb on them, they didn't understand it the first time. The second time, they still don't understand it. And I think if all of us were transparent, we can honestly say we don't always get everything that God shows us the first time, right? And if you're like, don't have that problem, God bless you, okay? But for us folk here who take a little bit longer to learn, hey, we don't get it all the time. It takes seasons, and can I remind us that our walk with the Lord is not you get saved and then you're perfect. It's a progression. It is going to happen until you see Jesus face to face, so that means we're all still under construction. God's going to continue to work in our hearts as long as we give him our heart. But the thing that I pray that we would see is this. Not only did they not understand, but what we want to notice is this. The first time Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Again, letting them know what's ahead. But here in this passage, it says the Son of Man is being betrayed. So in other words, the ball's rolling. It's happening. Before it's going to happen, it is literally moving in motion. He wanted them to understand and know that God's will and man's plans are simultaneously going on at that moment. You know, the interesting thing is when we look at this word betrayed, it means to be delivered up and to hand over. And in this one verse, it literally will point to the fact that Judas, one of his own, would betray him. It also reveals the religious leaders, the very ones that God called to prepare the nation of Israel for Jesus coming, they would reject him. They would also deliver him up to Pilate so that Pilate would give the death sentence to him. So they were there delivering man's plan. And then when it says to hand over, this would point to the scripture that we see in Isaiah 53:6. Isaiah 53:6 reveals God's plan. And what is it? All we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, speaking of Jesus, the iniquity of us all. This is God's plan in order to redeem man back to himself. So Jesus would be delivered. He would be handed over to complete the work of redemption, reconnecting us back into a right relationship with God. And of course, he would do this work on the cross. So this is what Jesus wanted his disciples to know. And I want you to understand the depth of what he's really wanting to teach them. Though this is going to be bad, you know who my betrayer is. He's one of us. You know who the religious leaders are. You know that they're supposed to be the spiritual leaders. You're going to witness them in action. But you also need to understand, this is actually my purpose in coming. It is God's will for me to come, to be mistreated, and to die. This is God's plan. Don't lose sight of that. And of course, what was the disciples' response? Verse 32, they did not understand this saying, and they were afraid to ask Jesus about it. Now, I believe with all my heart they heard what Jesus said, But the reality is after hearing these things, it's like a bomb being dropped, bad news, like 10 times over bad news. How would you respond? You know, in 2000, the year 2000, Marisa and I and the kids came home for a furlough off of the mission field. And we were here in this church. We had just arrived, and we were planning to spend a couple of weeks here giving updates on how things are going out on the mission field. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call from my sister-in-law. And she told me that my father-in-law just had a major stroke. And now I had to go and tell my wife. It took me a second to process. It took me a little bit before I could even try and get myself together and tell Marisa what happened. And I still fumbled. I still didn't know the right words to say. When stuff comes on you that is bad news, I think all of us at times can be like a deer in a headlight, just paralyzed, crippled, not knowing what to do. And so the reality is this, as we look at, though they didn't understand, they didn't comprehend it, some of us in this room might be going, that's because they're lame. But some might even have the boldness and say, you know, but if I was there, I would have asked these questions. Number one, hey, Lord, who's going to betray you? Because, you know, we got the sons of thunder here. They can take care of anybody, right? How about this question? Jesus, if you're the Messiah, why do you have to die? I mean, that's a legit question. Why do you have to suffer? Another question could have been, if you die, then how are you going to come back to life? How is this going to all unfold? Will you look different? Will we notice you? How about this one? After you resurrect and you come back, will you establish the kingdom then? Is that when game time's on? Is that when we win? See, all of these questions are legit questions. And we and I, you know, we can sit here going, yeah, we should have asked, they should have asked that, but you weren't there. You weren't there at that moment. So let's be careful that we don't, you know, think that the disciples are dull. They're still trying to learn. They're still trying to grow in their faith. And of course, the reason why it says that they didn't ask any questions is because they were afraid. You know, one of the things that they may have thought of was, you know, the last time Peter spoke up, the last time Peter said something, you know, questioning God about what he just, you know, questioning Jesus about him being crucified and him dying, that Jesus actually rebuked him and called him Satan. So, you know, it's kind of like one of those back in high school when you didn't understand what the teacher was telling you. Remember that? And then some brave soul in the class raised their hand and asked the question that you were thinking. And then all of a sudden the teacher was not showing much patience and belittled them in front of everybody. You're like, I don't need to know it. Ain't that important. I ain't raising my hand ever again. Right? Some teachers can do that. Not all. Some can. If you're a teacher, God bless you. Amen. That's seriously. If you are a teacher today, all kind of attitude in the classroom. Y'all need a raise. That's all I got to say. Amen. You must be a teacher. But listen, before I go on, I just want to encourage us as a church. Do you realize that it's okay to ask questions? I hope and pray that you know there's nothing wrong with asking questions for the sake of knowing what the Word of God is saying. And there's a difference between being sincere and somebody who wants to just debate. But the reality is this, it's okay for you to ask questions. God actually welcomes it. Do you know that? According to the book of James, notice what it says. I'm going to read from the NLT version. If you need wisdom, ask our gracious God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So here's the thing. If God doesn't get upset with you asking questions, you know, I could just imagine God at times looking at us and, you know, how we can ask questions like a 2-year-old. But why? But why? But why? But why? We get frustrated, but God doesn't. God welcomes it. And the reality is this, not only does he welcome it, but I want to challenge you, if God welcomes it and he doesn't get upset, then neither should anybody in church get upset. A pastor, the staff, the leadership should not get upset if you ask questions. But as a matter of fact, if it's a good Bible teaching church, schedule a meeting. Sit down with the pastor. Bring your questions. We'll look to the Word of God together so you can find the answer. But the reality is, you know, whatever we do here, we should be able to point to the Word of God and explain why we do what we do. If you ever go onto our church website and you want to know what we're all about, just go to the Statement of Faith page. It tells you what we believe about God, why we hold God's Word highest, a final authority, what our responsibility as believers is. Listen, you can learn all about our church through our Statement of Faith. And if you want to sit down and talk to me about any of them, schedule an appointment. We can go through the Word of God together. Now, if there's anything in that Statement of Faith that you don't agree, here's my encouragement to you. It's best that you find a church that you feel is in line with your faith. Does that make sense? I guess the best way to put it is like this, okay? I hope this doesn't happen. But it's like going to a Mexican restaurant and asking for a hamburger when they specialize in burritos and tacos and tortas and quesovidia and everything. I'm hungry. Do you guys get my point? You're not going to go into McDonald's and ask for a Whopper. You go where your appetite is going to serve you. You go where it's best in line with your faith, what you believe. So it's okay to ask questions. If you ever go to a church or you ever question somebody and they get upset with you and they tell you, you just need to believe what we teach, you can't question our authority, here's my counsel to you. Leave. Leave. Because if this is God's church, then you're going to find the answer in God's Word. That's my heart to you. That's what I want to encourage you with. It's okay to ask questions. And the reality is, not only is it okay to ask questions, but do you realize, according to the Scriptures, we are called to be students of the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Having the ability to take the word of God. You know, I watched, what is it called? The show Jeopardy, whatever. And every now and then they have the Bible trivia. I'm like, oh, game on. Game on. I mean, see how many of these I can get. And so far, everyone I've watched, I got 5 out of 6. So pray that I get the last one next time. But listen, we're called to dig into the Word of God so that way we can explain who God is. So we can understand and know what his desire is, what it is that he's asking of us while we're here on this earth. We need to be able to explain that to other people. We need to handle God's word, listen, as sacred, as holy. Why? Because it's his word. Oh, pastor, there you go. It was man wrote it. Yeah, you're right. man, God used men to write it. But it was not their idea. God gave them the words to pen, what to say. And the reality is, we are called to be students. And if you are here just on Sundays and that's the only time you're opening up your Bible, I got to challenge you with this. You're not going to grow as well as you think you will. You're not going to understand and know when difficulties come and how to handle it if you're only digging into the Word of God once a week. I want to encourage you, dig in. We are also called to test everything that we hear. Whether it's here, whether you visit another church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 and 22 says this, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." With all the resources that we have available to us on the internet, you can type something in the search button, Bible verses on studying God's Word. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll get pages and pages and pages of resources, but I guarantee you some of those pages aren't legit. Some of those pages aren't going to really explain to you what the Word of God is. And I guarantee you that if there's anything that contradicts God's Word, my encouragement, avoid it. When you get counsel from people, I'm not saying every single counsel is bad, but if there's anything that you ever receive that's contradicting God's Word, my encouragement to you, don't follow it. God knows what is best for us, and God has every answer to every life issue here in the Word of God. The next thing that we are called to clearly explain what we believe, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. In other words, those who don't know, who don't have a faith, who don't know Jesus, redeeming the time. What this is speaking of is when you have conversations with people, be willing to be a sower. Be willing to drop a seed of truth in the conversation. Bring Jesus into your conversation. Don't beat them up over the head with your Bible. But let me give you an example. You go to work on Monday. Hey, did your favorite football team win? Nah, neither did mine. Did you have a good weekend? Yeah, cool. So did I. Went to church, was able to worship the Lord. Had a blessed time. What did I just do? Bring Jesus into my conversation. I didn't condemn them. You mean you didn't go to church? You sinner. I didn't do none of that. Just, I told them what I did. I had a chance to read God's Word this weekend. Man, I was blessed. God showed me this. Oh, why? I'm not preaching. I'm just letting you know what God did for me. That's it. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to force you to believe what I believe. You have a free will to make your own decisions. Redeeming the time, let your speech always be with grace, favor, kindness. Speak truth in love. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Whenever you share your faith, whenever you talk about Jesus, I want you to remember that there is more than one way to do it. I want you, I know fellas are going to get this. Some of you ladies might understand it as well. I'm not picking on you. I'm a construction guy, okay? But if you know what a Leatherman tool is, it's a pretty handy tool. You got one in your pocket? Right on. That's awesome. It's one tool with many purposes. And it's the same way with sharing our faith. There's not just one way. Some people may need to be squeezed a little bit. Others might just need to be turned around. Others, you just might need to cut. But you got to pray and ask the Lord which one to use. And the reality is we need to explain clearly why we believe in Jesus. Why do we love him? Why do we follow him? I mean, this is an honest question. How can you love somebody that you've never seen? But what? How can you love somebody that you have not seen? I may not have seen him, but I can honestly tell you that the day that I prayed and asked God to forgive me of who I am and to believe in who he is, that God has promised to give us his Spirit so that now I can understand who he is, and the way that I get to know him is by reading his word. It's by waking up and spending time and going through the scriptures and praying and asking God to give me understanding. And even though I haven't seen him, I know he's real. We have to be able to explain that. And more importantly, not just explain it, but live it. Because we can talk a good talk. We can say the right words. We can pretend on the outside that everything's going well. But God knows what's happening on the inside. Beloved, don't ever be afraid to ask questions. Don't ever be afraid to say, Lord, I just need understanding. Because he will be more than happy to reveal it to you. I came across this quote by one of the commentaries that I use, James M. Boyce. And this is what he said: Bible study is the most essential ingredient in the believer's spiritual life, because it is only in study of the Bible, as that is blessed by the Holy Spirit, that Christians hear Christ and discover what it means to follow him. That's pretty deep. It's very basic. It's very simple. What is it saying? You want to learn the fullest? Dig in. Dig into the Word of God. Pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten and open up our hearts and our understanding to what God's Word is saying. That's where we discover what it means to follow him. And so don't ever be afraid to ask. Let's pick up in verse 33. Then he came to Capernaum, and they entered a house there, and it's more than likely, again, this was Peter's home. We don't know for sure. But after traveling on the road, they get to this home, and then Jesus asked the disciples, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? Now I want you to notice, what was their answer? There was none. Nobody spoke up. They kept silent. And the reason being is because maybe they were embarrassed or even ashamed to answer him. Why? Because Mark reveals that they were arguing with one another about which one of them was the greatest. Can you just kind of picture this? Let's just stop for a moment. After Jesus just told them on the road that he was about to die, and they were too afraid to ask him about that, but they were definitely not afraid to argue with one another about who was better than one or the other. They had no problem with discussing that. And in my mind, how could that happen? How could they go from hearing Jesus pour out his heart and tell them the bad things that are going to happen to them, now, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. I mean, I want you to think about this. Why would this conversation even come up? And of course, because they're human, right? Many commentators that I was looking at said this. Some suggest it was because of the mountaintop experience that Peter, James, and John had. That as they were walking on this road, that the nine disciples were all like, hey, you guys were gone for like 12 days, man. What'd you guys do? Where'd you go? What'd you eat? I mean, who wouldn't ask, right? And I could just imagine Peter, James, and John having a little bit of attitude. You know, bro, I can't tell you. Jesus took us. Not you, took us, and he actually said, we can't tell you what went down, at least not right now. but later I'll let you know. I mean, I could just picture them having a little bit of this chip on their shoulder. You know, it's like the little brother, big brother syndrome, especially when mom blesses one over the other. And if you guys don't know this, mom, I know you're watching. I'm your favorite, so. But I could just picture, you know, them having this conversation. And again, what is interesting is the word greatest here means greater in size or importance or degree. That's what that word means. So they were arguing, who's greater? Who's more important? And really, who's Jesus' favorite? That's what they were arguing about. Now, what I'm about to share is the way my mind works. So don't email me and say I'm teaching heresy. It's not in the Bible, but this is the way that my mind works. And I started kind of wondering how this conversation went down. Again, the nine disciples, come on, man, tell us where you went. Can't. Jesus said not to. Oh, so you think you're better than us? Well, you said it. I didn't. I mean, you know, and I can just imagine Peter, 50-50 Peter, remember him? I could just imagine him going, well, you know, Jesus called me the rock. And then the response from the nine disciples, yeah, and then he called you Satan. I could just picture James and John. Well, you know, many times Jesus invites us on special trips just with him, not with you. And, you know, we were up on that mountain where we can't tell you what happened. So, we're really Jesus' favorites. And again, the nine disciples are probably like, give me a break. The only reason why Jesus invites you everywhere is because you guys have hot tempers. Why do you think you have the nickname Sons of Thunder? He has to keep an eye on you. Jesus needs to babysit you. You think you're special. I could imagine the other nine disciples. You know, you guys think you're special. We're the ones that do all the work. While you're off doing whatever, we're here serving the people. And I can just imagine Peter, James, and John. Yeah, but you fail at ministry. You couldn't even cast out this unclean spirit. So you can see how this conversation can unfold really quickly. And it is amazing to me, even as they were on the road, Jesus had to have heard them, but he didn't say a word. But yet, as they get into this house, when he finally asked them in a more an appropriate place for them to have this conversation, he called to them because of their silence. When they didn't answer him as to what they were discussing, what they were arguing about, he called them over to himself. And notice it says that he sat down. And why is that such an important piece? Because rabbis, teachers, would sit in that day when they would get ready to teach. So what Jesus was expressing is, circle up, fellas. This is a teaching moment. And sure enough, Jesus would teach the disciples what true greatness is. And how did he do that? You see it in verse 35. If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. That's what he said. Again, remember the scene. Notice with me that Jesus didn't rebuke them. Jesus didn't get mad at them because of what they were talking about. He didn't say, I can't believe you guys are saying these things after I told you I'm about to die. And you're more worried about who's going to be greater than one another? But no, Jesus basically said, you really want to be great? Let me tell you what it will require. And the first thing that you need to understand about greatness is this. Human values are not the same as kingdom values. What we need to understand is Jesus wants to teach these disciples and even us today that we need to stop comparing ourselves to one another. That we need to live for the Lord And when we live for the Lord, it's going to look different for each and every one of us. We're all running the same race. We're all wanting to, you know, love Jesus and be more like Christ. But some of us in this room will have different giftings than others. Some of you may be those servants that don't even, you like the cleaning ministry. I don't even know who's on the cleaning ministry. That's how stealth they are. They come in when nobody's here, they clean up the building, and they're gone. Like little ninjas. Like, that is awesome. They're not looking for any pats on the back. I have never once had any of them come up to me and say, hey, how does the sanctuary look? I've never once have they ever said, hey, you know, I'm a part of the clean ministry. And the reality is we all have giftings and we all have different things that God is going to ask us to do, but it's not a competition. And I will tell you this, when we live for the Lord, listen, it will be completely different than the world's ways. The first thing that Jesus told them, you want to be great? You must first be last. What? Last? Like, Lord, you don't know me. I'm competitive. You know, if you ever come over to my house and we play board games, you're not leaving until I win. I'm just a little bit competitive. But I want you to write down this passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Write it down, and I want you to read it later. You must be last. You must put other people before yourself and think of them better than you. The second thing he said, be a servant of all. I want you to see this. Both of these points are really foreign. They're foreign concepts to our world and our culture. Do you realize that in the world's view, greatness is established by you being better than others? In the world's view, climbing the corporate ladder and doing whatever it takes to get there is more important, even if you hurt people's feelings. In the world's view, you may start off at the bottom, but the goal is to be up on the top where people are serving you. People are waiting on you. People are working for you. You are the boss. That, in their eyes, is greatness. And of course, the goal, and when it comes to God's kingdom, greatness is not about position. It's about servanthood. It's about being willing to serve anybody, to attend to people's needs, to care for them, to have compassion on people. One of the things that I pray that we would see is that when we consider what Jesus is wanting to teach us, he didn't just say the words, he was the ultimate example of what a true servant is. If you were to look at John chapter 13, from verse 1 all the way up to verse 17, it was when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. I want to just bring out a couple of things in this, and that is this. Jesus, who, again, not just preaching it, not just commanding it, but living it. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, on this night, took off his outer garment, and he tied a towel around his waist and began to wash his own creation's feet. And after he was done, he basically told his disciples, you call me Lord and teacher, and rightfully so. That's who I am. I am your Lord, and I am your teacher. I am your rabbi. And if I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet, then you should wash one another's feet. No servant is greater than his master, and no messenger is greater than the one who sent him. And Jesus said these final words, blessed are you if you do them. And the reality is this, it's not about position. It's not a competition. As we learn how to live for the Lord, one of the things that God is going to call us to do is to serve people, to not just say it with our words, but let it be seen with our actions. You know, even when we encourage you, especially during this service, and we say, hey, can you guys scoot in, and people scoot in, that's showing love. That's serving other people, and you don't probably even think of it that way. There's some of you who are all like, yeah, come on in. I'll slide over, even though I was early and you're late. I'm not going to say anything, but I'll do it. Right? Come on now. It's one of those things that when God teaches you something and you put it into action and then you find joy in doing it, you do it over and over and over again. Not because you have to, because you love to. And you're not expecting anything in return, not a pat on the back, not a plaque. I'm so thankful that nobody has asked me for their own private parking spot. Yet. Uh-oh, yet. Uh-oh. But the reality that I want us to see in what Jesus is, again, not just preaching, but notice verse 36 and 37, and we're going to wrap this up. I want to invite the worship team to come forward. Jesus then gave a visual, and he took a little child, and he embraced him and sat him on his lap. I could just imagine this crowd of people, of adults. And what was the significance of this? Why would he bring a little child in? Because during this time, children were not treated well. Children were looked at as a piece of property, not as individuals. So for him to bring this child who would, in other ways, in other scenarios, be looked at as a distraction, not important to be here. He would be needy. He would be needing to be cared for. Attention would need to be given to him. And yet Jesus welcomed him, embraced him, and sat him on his lap. And what was the picture that Jesus wanted the disciples then and us to know is this. We are called to serve. We are called to welcome everyone, from the outcast to the foreigner to those who are messed up from the floor up. We are called to welcome everybody and care for them no matter what. And this is what I want us to seek, because true greatness starts with humility, thinking of others before yourself. True greatness takes place when we welcome everybody. True greatness happens when we serve everybody. And the one heart that I pray is that as we learn more about God, that we would view our church, listen carefully, that we would view our church in this way, because when we call ourselves a non-denominational church, that means we welcome everybody. And when we welcome everybody, that means you and I cannot forget the grace of God that has been poured out upon us. Because the moment you forget about what God's done for you, that's when you start having this self-righteous attitude, and you start causing, or you start having a judgmental attitude toward people. You know, I can't believe they came to church dressed like that. They just got saved last week. Oh, I can't believe I saw that dude out there smoking a cigarette in the parking lot. Listen, petty, nonsense. Why would you keep somebody from being in a place where they need Jesus the most? Right? So how dare us, God help us not to have that attitude with anybody. We need to be welcoming, and listen carefully. When we say we welcome everybody, this is what you need to understand. We welcome everybody, but we're going to allow God's word to teach them how to live. Amen. We don't need to help God with that. Yep. God can do it on his own. But if you come into this church and you believe what the world's teaching you and you have a different belief, I'm not going to cater to your belief. I'm going to teach the word of God. Amen. And the reality is you will be challenged, like all of us are challenged. You have different weaknesses than I do. But the reality is, if God's word is going to do what it says it does, which Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, God's word is alive, powerful, and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can literally pierce through any bone and marrow and help us see what's deep inside of us. So don't hinder somebody who's out there from coming in here, because this is a place they need to be. We all need it. We are all in need of a Savior. We are all sinners. And if this isn't a place that they can be, where can they be? Because if the world keeps feeding them, they're going to be drifting further and further away from God. And I hope and pray that that's not us. I hope and pray that we would receive, just as a little child, anybody who would walk through these doors. Don't look at them crooked. Don't look at them go, oh my goodness. Because the funny thing is, the way you look at people, it'd be the same way they look at you. So what's our takeaway? I want us to see this really quickly, and then we're going to worship the Lord. What do I want us to learn? If we're going to be great in the eyes of the Lord, if we want to understand what he's teaching us, this is the best way to grow from faith to love. The first one is love God first, and he will teach you how to love others. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, that you're to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first command. The second command is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. The second thing I want to challenge us, be devoted student of the word. You have God's full counsel in the palm of your hand. Dig into it. Fall in love with the word. Psalm 119, verse 9 to 16. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to his word, by hiding God's word in his heart and never neglecting God's word. This is great encouragement for us. Become a student. And the last one, serve the Lord with the gifts that you have been given. Don't look at it as a competition. We're all running the same race. God's called each and every one of us to something different. Encourage each other, because when you use your gifts to serve God, you are an encouragement to one another. And the other important thing is you always give God glory. What is the goal of being the greatest servant of all? Is when people see Jesus and not you. That's the goal. That's what I pray we're all about here. So I want to challenge you, get plugged in to the Ministry 101 class. I want to challenge you, next month in February, we're going to have another opportunity for you to get plugged into different ministries. As the church grows, so does the need of volunteers. So we'll have a little bit of everything available that you can get plugged into. And I don't want you to worry about, well, I don't know a whole lot. I don't know if I can do this. Just take a step of faith. Get plugged in. We will be here to help train and equip you for it. But you got to take the step and be a part. Okay, we're not going to force you. We want you to do it willingly. And I want you to grow in love with Jesus. Amen. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning, and I want to thank you for just blessing us with this service this morning. And God, I do pray in the power of your precious name that you would continue to help all of us, Lord, come to that place of knowing you more and welcoming everybody into this place. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, God, pour out your spirit upon every person who has confessed that you are their Lord and Savior. Fill them. Equip them and empower them to love you and to live out your word. And I also want to pray very quickly, if there's any here in this place that have not received Christ, I want to invite you. I want to encourage you right where you're at. God welcomes everybody. God doesn't want you to try and clean yourself up first. Come as you are. And when you come, he's the one that cleans us up. But we first have to give him our heart. We first need to hand it over to him and confess our sins and ask the Lord to cleanse our heart. And when we confess our sins, the Bible says very clearly, when you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you confess it with your mouth, God's promise is you will be saved from the penalty of sin, which is eternal separation. So if this is you this morning, right where you're at, I want to invite you to slip up your hand and make this a prayer between you and God. It's not to join this church. This is a prayer between you and God and your destiny. So if there's anybody here this morning who wants to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life, right where you're at, just slip up your hand. I'm not going to prolong this. Praise the Lord. I see your hands here in the front. See your hand off to my left. Anyone else? Just slip it up high so I can see it. There's a lot of people here this morning. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the hands that were raised. You guys can put them down now. And I pray that if there's any others, that you would be willing to just pray this prayer with us. It's not a matter of your hand being raised, it's your heart. So let's pray this prayer together. God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world. That your plan was to use him. And through his death, help me to have a right relationship with you. So God, I confess that I've sinned. I believe by faith that Jesus died and rose again for my sins. I believe by faith that through his death and resurrection, I can be forgiven and at peace with you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for saving me. God, would you please come into my heart and teach me your ways. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you made that prayer, I want to encourage you. Off to my left is Pastor Josh. He would love to spend a little bit of time with you, get you started in a right relationship with the Lord, tell you where to start reading. And if you have any prayer requests, if you need prayer, please come forward after the worship song, because we'll have an amazing team up here ready to minister to you guys. Listen, I want to encourage all of us. Let's become students. Let's learn what the Lord was teaching the disciples for us today. There's so many people who don't know him, and we have an opportunity right now to be a voice for the Lord. So step up, study the word, know the word, explain the word, and let others make a choice on whether or not they want to believe. Our role is to let them know. So God bless you all, and have an amazing Sunday.